A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 3 to 8. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Broadway's Greenwood campus. Every day that we're together is a special day, but today is going to be extra special because for the very first time in over a year, we are going to receive communion together in person. Now, I know that it might feel a little different with our wafers and our cups and us sitting here in our masks today, but I came across this picture that I hope will make us feel like maybe it's okay. See, like, it's just a part of a truly authentic experience, right? Maybe not. But I'm going to guide us through this today, and I pray that it will be a powerful experience all the same, as we have the opportunity to encounter God in this very, very special way and to hear anew his calling that he has placed on each of our lives. We will be doing this at the end of the sermon today, so just hold on to these for now. But for the beginning of our service, how I'd like for us to get started is for us to stand up where we are, and as we have been doing, to take just a second to turn and to say hi to everyone around you. Give them a wave, an air high five if you need, whatever you'd like. And then let me pray for us as we get started. Come, Holy Spirit, we know, God, that you are always near, but God, help us become aware of your presence today as we take these few moments away from all that's going on around us in the world to very intentionally place ourselves in the way of your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During this Lenten season, we have been going on a journey with the Israelites to help us understand a little bit more fully how God is leading us, especially in the midst of difficult and uncertain times. What we know as we've been journeying with them is that their story is going to end in the promised land, in the place of freedom and new life. But if we were to ask the question this morning, are we there yet? Which we'd like to ask sometimes on journeys. The answer would still be, nope, not yet. The Israelites are still finding themselves caught in between where they started and where they long to go. And I'm going to guess that all of us are kind of familiar with the feeling of being in this land of in between. At some point in our lives, we've all found ourselves in between something, you know, perhaps in between jobs, in between homes, in between relationships, in between life stages, like finishing college and the real world, or work and retirement, or a house full of kids and an empty nest. Of course, this past year, we've all collectively experienced a very big in-between moment, right? As one, as a group of people, as we have been stuck in between the life that we knew before the pandemic and the promise of what life might be like on the other side of this. I think we all understand the chaos that not being where we once were and not yet being where we long to go can be created in our lives. In July of 2018, Jeremy and I set off on a journey together, a journey to come here to Bowling Green and to serve at Broadway. And we were very, very excited. I remember us boxing up our little apartment in the desolate land of the Louisville Cardinals, who have a basketball team, I hear, to make the drive down I-65 toward this hilly and open promised land that was flowing with Corvettes and caves and underwear. We could not wait to start our new lives here. But as we got here, there was just this one little problem. We didn't actually have a house to move into when we arrived. And so Jeremy's parents, they're super generous and very kind. And so they had allowed us to stay in their basement while we looked for a house. So as we made our way down I-65, we got there. We started taking the boxes out of the truck one after another after another. And they just kind of like kept coming, it seemed like. Until finally, quite to our surprise, we had them all off of the truck, but they were all stacked like completely to the ceiling in the basement. They had filled the entire space except for this one little pathway that led us into our bed and back out again. So it wasn't exactly ideal, right? But nothing was going to rain on our parade, right? Like, we were thrilled to be here. Nothing was going to take our excitement away. After all, God had called us here. He led us here. So we were up for the adventure. But then the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months. And at some point, we honestly were just kind of like done, right? We were having a hard time not having a space to call our own when so much else in our lives was changing. We were starting new jobs. We were starting in a new city. We were trying to build new relationships. All those things are great, but they can take a lot of energy, right? And so it didn't take long for our enthusiasm to give way to exhaustion in this in-between place. I'll never forget my phone ringing one day, and I was so thrilled because I looked down and it said that it was the bank. And I was like, yes, we're finally going to close on a house. But as I opened up my Razor flip phone, do y'all remember those like forever ago? And I put it up to my ear, the banker on the other end said to me, Miss Vincent, we're calling because we're going to need this one receipt to close on your house. And I was standing there in front of the mountains of the boxes that had filled the entire basement with no idea where that receipt was. And I remember tears just like starting to stream down my face. And I started to question, to grumble really, like, God, I thought that you had led us here. Why is this so hard? Are you here with us or not? As we pick up the story of the Israelites today, we find them at a similar breaking point in their journey with God. It has been 3 months since God has rescued them from out of slavery in Egypt. 3 months since God has miraculously set them free, free from slavery, free from oppression, free from Pharaoh, free from his army when they come in pursuit of them. But now what? He had promised to take them to this open and spacious place flowing with milk and honey, this place that he had promised to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it sounded glorious. But it didn't take long to look around after the days had turned into weeks and the weeks had turned into months to realize that they weren't there yet, that they still did not have a place to call their own. They still did not have a home. And so here they were. Still, you know, certainly not back in Egypt, but definitely not yet in the promised land. They were in between, and the land of in between was beginning to take its toll on them. Since their supposed deliverance, let's see, they've been wandering around in deserts. They have been attacked by this point by not just one, but two different armies. They've struggled to find water to drink, and for a little bit of time, they struggled to find food to eat. And all of this is in the midst of living in this brand new community that is being led by just one person, Moses, but that is made up of 600,000 men, 20 years of age and up, plus women and children. So we're talking about like 2 million people here, wandering around in the wilderness, trying to figure out what in the world life is supposed to look like now. Talk about chaos. It was a mess. What had started out as this exciting adventure had turned into this exhausting affair. And so they had begun to grumble. In Exodus 17, they just come right out and kind of ask the question, is God among us or not? Their hope was beginning to waver as it began to feel like to them that God had just disappeared. Maybe you can relate to that feeling as you reflect on your own in-between times. But of course, the truth is, God, he has not wavered in his commitment to them one bit. He's been with them every step of the journey. He's been right there showing himself to be compassionate and caring, present and personal over and over again, in pillars of smoke and fire to guide them, in bitter water turned sweet and water from rocks, in battle victory, and in manna and quail to eat. But have you ever noticed that when you and I are caught up in this cycle of just trying to survive, that we can lose sight of God's presence in our lives? It's this strange paradox. God is with us in every single moment, anywhere and everywhere we go. But sometimes it takes a shift in our perspective, or it takes the loss of our normal day grind to see what has been there all along. Sometimes it takes getting out of our typical rhythm to see that God is there, to encounter him. There's something about going someplace different or doing something new that can kind of shake us up a little bit, jolt our brains into this awareness. Suddenly we are able to see things that we just, for whatever reason, could not see before. This is certainly the case of the Israelites as their journey eventually takes them to this new place, this place called Mount Sinai. And this is what Mount Sinai looks like, I think. There it is. So they come to this place, which is actually the place where God had encountered and called their leader, Moses, through a burning bush. And God is about to show up again in a way that they are not going to miss, but this time to encounter and call all of his people out of chaos and into covenant. Exodus 19:16, it sets the scene for us. After a few days of preparations in order to meet with God, this is what we're told. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Do you think that God has their attention now? Right? Talk about an awe-inspiring incident. But now that God has broken into and interrupted their everyday cycle of survival and made it abundantly clear that, yes, he is among them, he has something very important to say to his people. In the midst of their chaos, he desires to make covenant, a promise to them. And he does this by first reminding them who he is. He says, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. In other words, he says, you yourselves, not just your ancestors way back in time, not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You yourself have seen with your own eyes firsthand my power and my might. You yourselves have seen my care and concern. And so now, in light of that context, in light of who you have seen me to be, a God who wants the very best for you, now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Can you sense how much God loves them? In these words, he is crazy about them. He has heard their cries. He has seen their suffering. He has known their misery, and he has rescued them for this purpose, for them to be his treasured possession. He's rescued them to be their God and for them to be his people. He's inviting them into this special relationship that's going to set them apart from everyone else in the world. And he's about to give them a gift that will allow this special relationship to thrive. And this gift is the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't know about you, but for most of my life, that is not how I have described the Ten Commandments. A gift? More like a duty or a responsibility or a burden to bear. As a kid, I always kind of imagined God up in heaven with a clipboard, right? With like all the Ten Commandments beside it, putting a big X besides the ones that I kind of messed up on, like he was grading a test. In fact, I can remember being a little girl walking out of a store accidentally, holding a 10-cent pencil and thinking, oh no, I'm done for, right? Like, I have failed. The Ten Commandments, they stressed me out. They made me nervous. They made me afraid because they were always presented to me as this list of rigid rules that I was supposed to keep just because God said so. However, these commandments are not some isolated list meant to scare us into obedience, but rather they are a part of the larger story of God, which is always about inviting us into freedom and abundance. In the larger context of the story we've seen today, we see that God at Mount Sinai, he doesn't announce these commandments as a punishment. He isn't demanding these commandments out of anger because the people have messed up. He's not flexing his muscles to lay down the law. Rather, he gives these commandments as a gift of love. Through them, he is inviting his treasured possession into a deeper and richer relationship with him. Through these commandments, he's asking the people of Israel to make their relationship with him the most important relationship of their lives, so that this relationship can be the thing that shapes and that gives purpose and order to everything else. God is calling his people out of chaos into covenant so that this committed relationship can be what defines them and that tells them what life is supposed to look like, no matter where they go and no matter where they find themselves, even in the messiness of the in-between of the wilderness. The commandments, they begin like this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Again, they begin with relationship, with God reminding them how they've already seen that he is their God and they are his people. And then the first four commandments deal with the relationship between them, between God and his people. And like all the nations that surround them, that have many gods and that they worship in many different ways, God says to them, you, my treasured possession, you, my kingdom of priests and holy nation, you shall put no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image, an idol, in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And you shall remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall work, and then the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord. So the first four, they talk about this relationship between the God who loves them and their relationship back to him. And then the next six commandments deal with the people's relationship with one another as a result of this primary relationship with God. He says, you, my treasured possession, you, my kingdom of priests and holy nation, you shall honor your father and mother, and you shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, give false testimony, or covet your neighbor's house. Essentially, God calls them to treasure and value one another in the same way that he treasures and values them. This was the gift that God gave to his people when he encountered them at Mount Sinai. God has told them who they are, his treasured possession. And now, through these commandments, he's made it clear what they are to be about, no matter where they find themselves in this journey of life. Their calling, always and everywhere, if you boil all these commandments down, is to love. As people who are dearly and deeply loved by God, they are no longer to live life as if this life is about themselves, whether they are to live their lives loving God and loving people. Hundreds of years later, God would come into the chaos of our world to encounter his people once more, this time in the person of Jesus Christ. His body would be broken, and his blood would be shed, so that he can make a new covenant, not just with the Israelites, but with all of the people on earth. However, the calling of God's people remained the same, and it remains the same today. When Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is in Matthew 22, this is what he says: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Today, through this covenant, Jesus invites you and me out of the chaos of this world that as a whole is in between. You see, the kingdom of God has already begun breaking out here on earth through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This kingdom, it is growing and it is expanding. It is redeeming and it is restoring. It is transforming and it is setting things right. And one day, heaven and earth will be perfectly one. But are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. The kingdom of God has not fully arrived. We are living in the land of in between, and that land, it can be hard. It can be exhausting. When we are faced with sickness and suffering, when we are faced with conflict and controversy, when we are faced with disappointment and disaster like we so intensely have this past year, then we can begin to wonder, God, are you among us here or not? We can begin to question, God, what in the world is my life supposed to look like in the midst of this? But again and again and again, God calls us out of chaos and into covenant, into a committed relationship with him, so that this relationship can be what defines our lives and what can tell us what our life is supposed to look like. In this and every moment, no matter where we find ourselves, we can know, who are we? We are God's treasured possession. And what are we to be about? Loving God and loving others. Each time that you and I share in this special meal together, it has the power and the potential and the possibility of being a Mount Sinai moment for us. It is an opportunity for our ordinary, everyday survival mode in the chaos of this world to be interrupted so that we can renew our covenant with God. Somehow, mysteriously, through this bread and through this juice, we encounter God anew. And we are reminded that, yes, we have God here in our midst. And that he is loving us just like he promised us he would. And that he is still calling us to love him and to love others in our world. And so, if you would, go ahead and grab your elements as we remember this together. We remember on the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father. And then he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples saying, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, he took the cup. And he once again gave thanks to the Father and gave it to his disciples saying, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink from it, do this in remembrance of me. And so if you would, take your elements into your hand and just kind of hold them forward and allow me to bless them for you today. Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. until that day when Christ returns in final victory and we sit at his table in heavenly glory. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would, go ahead and open up your bread. If you've already got it, great. And I'll invite you at this point to take off your mask as we remember that this is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. And now, let's remember together that this is the blood of Christ shed for us. Go ahead and receive your juice at this time. Let's respond together today as we put our mask back on.